Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And now here's Bryant to try a 50-yarder. Snap, hold from Bosher. Try is away by Bryant. It's got to hurry, but it is good. Little play fake here. Ryan going to cut it loose. Oh, my goodness. Marvin Hall caught it. Touchdown, Atlanta. Go get you some, Marvin Hall. Ryan going to hand. This is Coleman firing through. Reaches for the end zone. Ball pop loose. Touchdown, Atlanta. Coleman broke the plane of the goal line at the west end of the building for his first rushing score of the year. Jai's back in the ball game. Cutler takes the snap, wants to throw. Up in the pocket, shoots it down the field, and it's intercepted by Deion Jones. At the 11-yard line goes Deion Jones with his first interception of the year and the fourth of his career. Here's Cutler looking left. Up in the pocket he goes, throws to the end zone, and caught. That's the touchdown. Kenny Stills along the back line for the Dolphins. Second and six at the 7. And it is Cutler on a bootleg, and wide open is Landry. He'll walk into the end zone, and Miami on the board again. Hawk will hold. John Denny the snap. Here's the spot. Kick is away to tie the game, and it is good. Snap, spot, kick is away, and it is good. Ryan the snap. Here comes Miami. He'll cut it loose for Hooper. It's deflected and intercepted by Jones. Rashad Jones on a collision with Tankersley, it looked like, on a ball intended for Hooper. It'll be the third time since 1989 that Atlanta's led by 17 at the half and lost the game. Very disappointing loss today for Dan Quinn and his club. Miami beats the Falcons 20-17.
It totally bums you out, and you try to find what was the cause of not being able to finish like we wanted. And that's what we'll do. And we'll reset it and get right to it, because in our league, you got to get back and get ready to play again. And you've got to get the corrections first. So all the ones are teaching moments, but you don't really get tested until you're in the fire. So for us to not close today like we wanted to, that was disappointing, because we were certainly ready to there at the end.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. John and Hugh. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to entertainment near you and the entertainment that you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. And the way we experienced TV yesterday, if you were watching at home, well, you, Douglas, that pretty much sucked. I don't know what else to say. Morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. It's not a good look. No question about that, but not the end of the world. I mean, I know you look at the way that you lost. I was surprised. I was miffed, dumbfounded, all of those big words to use in this situation. But it's not the end of the world. The mission is still a go. It's just, it's hard for people to wrap their mind around that, because you're looking at that game, and the thing that's looming for a lot of people is that second half. And the second half has been like the Achilles heel for this team the last two games you played in. I mean, you know, nobody's trying to sugarcoat that. You need to figure out what halftime adjustments are you doing or not doing that's allowing, you know, teams, subpar teams, to get back in the game. Because, I mean, let's face it, Miami's not a good football club. I mean, this is the most offense they've mustered since the season started. And it's one of those things you look at and you have to reevaluate yourself and try to figure out what it is that you're doing wrong.
Well, I went from angry that this is just not acceptable to, and it's not acceptable, to just kind of bewilderment, you know, over the course of the few hours after the game, trying to figure it out. You lost back-to-back home games to, as you said, subpar teams in Buffalo and Miami, and gave them both away, and then came up short in your rallies, and as people like to point out, you're 1-4. And then I thought, you know what's really bad, doubly bad about this, is that, you know, you gave away a lead in the second half, and you filtered away a 17-point lead in the second half, the week of the Patriots game of all games, and you're just going to be hearing nothing but that giving all you gave up, I blew a lead all week long.
Yeah. I mean, then you look at what the Patriots did against the Jets. The Jets had them against the ropes. And, you know, some controversial calls were made.
Yeah.
And they win that game. So now the narrative is everything that we fought so hard to try to, like, put behind us has come to the forefront in this week. And it's going to be something that is going to be talked about all week long. And part of it is our doing. You know, the way that we've handled the last two games we played in, the way that the outcome of the last two games. So you best believe that the Patriots are going to be looking at that, and they're going to be thinking that if they weather the storm, then they're going to have a chance to win the game. Because that's all it is. You know, the thing that really got me in the game yesterday was the Miami Dolphins were ready to quit. There were some instances in that first half where I saw guys starting, when they were getting hit, they started getting up off the ground kind of slow and everything. But what you did was all that jaw-jacking, all that extracurricular activity after the play and pushing and shoving and getting these penalties and stuff, you gave them life. You can't do that. Bad teams, when they're bad, they do stupid stuff like that. You cannot succumb to that. You got to stay focused all the time. You have to stay focused. And I saw yesterday that defensively the Falcons lost focus, and they allowed the Miami Dolphins to climb back in that game and make plays.
You know, that's a really good call, because there was a lot of jaw-jacking in Miami. It was the only thing Miami had in the first half, was to, you know, shove people around and try and get in your head and jaw-jack. And it was 17-0 at halftime, and we were all cruising to what was supposed to be the win that was going to, you know, set us on a sail for these three games on the road back-to-back-to-back. And instead, it all collapses in the worst possible way. We're talking about the Falcons on a Falcons Monday, reacting to the blown game against the Miami Dolphins at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, ahead of going to New England this coming Sunday night for a national TV game against Tom Brady and the Patriots. John and Hugh at the Kia Studios. And Hugh, I got to say, you know, there's so many things that went wrong here. Lack of execution, lack of focus, as you said, the penalties that Grady Jarrett, with a stupid penalty that took away an interception that might have sealed the game. So many things that went wrong. But what bothers me the most, and I had to think, what's bothering me the most? See, I don't believe in the Super Bowl hangover, okay? I just don't. What I believe in, though, is doubt. And I'm worried that this team has this doubt. We've seen it, and it was reflected last year at times, certainly magnified in the Super Bowl by 100 times. And we've seen it this season already on multiple occasions. When they get a lead and something goes wrong for them in the second half, they start to press. They start to go, uh-oh, this is happening again. And they get back on their heels and they get defensive. Instead of taking the fight to the other team, they get into protection mode, and it tends to go badly for them, obviously, when it does.
I don't know. I don't know. I have to go back and look at that, because I do know in the first half, they were real aggressive. I mean, they were making plays. They were throwing the ball down the field and everything. And then all of a sudden, it just feels – I still think that they're being aggressive in their play calls. I just think that the other team is making adjustments. They're making some really good adjustments on both sides of the ball. And that's something that I think you have to go back and you have to reevaluate. And it was something that was said during the broadcast that I did not know. Coach Quinn had alluded to the fact that his team – I think they said that he felt like they weren't focused going into that Buffalo game. I know you guys could hear, but it was something that was said, like, he didn't think that they weren't prepared, but they just weren't focused. And that was somewhat of a concern of his. And to me, that really, I thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute, how can you not be focused and you know what this season means and this mission means? Again, that's something that can't be corrected. Again, it's an AFC opponent. You want to get that game. You should have beat the Dolphins. There's no question about that. I'm not trying to sit here and sugarcoat for anybody and say that, you know, that was a fluke. You should have beat the Dolphins. and something needs to be corrected, but you're still alive. As far as the NFC pitcher is concerned, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their quarterback is a little banged up. You look at the front runner for the NFC crown, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is going to be out for an extended period of time. So this is not no time to panic mode. This is time to refocus. And the mission is still a go. So we just got to play better. Got to play a lot better. Got to finish. That's the biggest thing. Got to finish. Got to become a fourth-quarter team.
Right. They don't put their – you know, we've talked about this before. They don't know how to put their boot on somebody's neck and keep them down. They let somebody back in, and the moment they do, it starts to go, you know, sideways for them. And how are you not – all right, I'll slow down for a second. Julio Jones didn't have a touchdown. Not one. And how are you not, you know, stretching the field? You hit Marvin Hall over the top on a post for a touchdown, right? And then you go away from it? You threw that one pass? If you can beat him deep over the top, then beat him deep over the top. But do whatever it takes. Don't get conservative and suddenly you want to run between the tackles where you had spotty, I think it's probably best to say, spotty results. Yeah, you had two big runs, but that's about it. I mean, the rest of it was, you know, for very little.
To me, it was a 10-yard fight, and I enjoy every minute of it. I saw a team that ran the ball against a team at that point. They hadn't given up a rushing touchdown or a passing touchdown at that point. And they everything that they got, they fought for. That was what I liked about it, because they were imposing their will in the run game and in the passing game on the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins, to me, they looked like they wanted to give up. They wanted to give up. But something happened at halftime. Somebody came out and gave a fire and brimstone speech, and they were a totally different team.
I think they just made adjustments, and our coaching staff didn't adjust to their adjustments. That's all I can come up with. And man, the lack of killer instinct on this team sometimes is exasperating. And now you have three straight road games that starts with no less than that rematch with Tom Brady on Sunday night. Well, here it is, a Falcons Monday. A lot to get into in the NFL. Huge week in the NFL. NFL loses a superstar quarterback. Boy, the quarterbacks are going down. What does this mean for the Green Bay Packers to lose Aaron Rodgers? Next. It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons fans have a chance to save up to $120 at every game because of Kauffman Tire this season. But I got to tell you, they only scored two quarters yesterday, as we know, the first two. And you could save $60, though, if you do need a set of four new tires today. $60 off at any Kauffman Tire. Your neighborhood Kauffman Tire store has all the details, or kauffmantire.com, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons, Kauffman Tire. Well, we are talking about the NFL, and of course a lot to talk about with the Atlanta Falcons all day long, all week long, leading to the Patriots game. By the way, if you're driving in today, everybody obviously knows it's wet out there on the pavement, so take a little bit of extra time and arrive alive. We want our audience to be safe and happy when you arrive at work or wherever you're headed this morning. Hugh Douglas, we are looking at the NFL, and it's been not just the Atlanta Falcons, but a weird year. No unbeaten teams left, with the Chiefs losing, and the Giants go to Denver and somehow win a game and slaughter the Denver Broncos. Go figure. I can't make heads or tails of this season so far.
I don't think it's weird. That's the NFL. If you look at years past in the NFL, that's why they say any given Sunday, any team can win. And, you know, you talk about that Kansas City Chiefs game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was just one of those weeks that the Steelers – I just thought about – well, I picked the Steelers to win in this game because I thought about the week that they were having and all the questions and all the doubt that was cast on the quarterback and everything that was going on with the team. And it just felt like that's a rallying cry for them. And you look at the game the Kansas City Chiefs had the last game that they were in. It was in a barn burner. They was in a dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things. You just – NFL is screwy like that. You know, as bad as one team is, you look at like the Cleveland Browns, they're not that far off from, say, the New England Patriots as far as, you know, talent level and winning. It's just that margin of error is so small, and that can be the difference between winning and losing football games. And that's what you kind of look at because everybody in the NFL is talented. You just have to have the right focus and the right execution to get the job done.
Of course, the injury situation so far this season has been – notable. A number of quarterbacks have gone down. A number of star players have gone down and out for the year. The league has lost Odell Beckham and J.J. Watt. It's lost Andrew Luck, apparently, for the year. And now it has lost Aaron Rodgers with a broken collarbone for the Green Bay Packers, and Mike McCarthy, a devastating loss.
The loss of Aaron Rodgers to injury definitely hurts. But as a football team, we have to move forward. Aaron's a great player. He's a huge part of our success in our program. But this is the state of the National Football League. You have to deal with all your injuries. So,
yeah, you got to deal with them. And now it turns to Brett Hundley, who's been behind Rodgers for the last 3 years since he came out of UCLA. He wasn't able to rally the team yesterday as they lost to the Vikings 23-10, but Brett Hundley knows he's got an opportunity.
I've been preparing for this moment for a long time now. You know, obviously we didn't get the job done today, but we'll be better.
Well, what do you make of this? Because now there are calls for possibly, you know, there are a number of Packers fans calling for Colin Kaepernick right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's going to get a call. You look at him. You look at Jameis Winston, I'm talking about him as in Aaron Rodgers going down. Yeah. You look at Jameis Winston, him getting knocked around a little bit. There's definitely going to be some quarterback slots that need to be filled. It's going to be interesting to see what is the next move that is made. Because didn't Brandon Whedon just got a job a few weeks ago, and we all saw his body of work. So it's going to be interesting to see if Colin Kaepernick does not at least get a phone call or a tryout. What's the excuse going to be for him not to be on the roster?
Well, Troy Aikman already came out and said Tony Romo ought to go out of the broadcast booth, and Tony Romo ought to go to the Green Bay Packers. Man, really?
I mean, there's an option as well. You know, Tony Romo is going to be a guy that I'm pretty sure his phone's ringing, and he's going to have to make a decision. You know, how bad does he want to play? I don't know. I don't know. If I'm Tony Romo, I will weigh my options. He obviously said that he wanted to play. Again, he wanted to play for the Cowboys. This is not the Cowboys, but to have the chance to go to the Green Bay Packers and take over for that team, that might be something that might be interesting to him. I mean, and I did hear that he is from that area, the Wisconsin area. So, you know, that might be something that he might entertain. I know him and his wife probably going to sit down and talk about it, whether you want to make this cushy money, you know, wearing these nice $1,000 tailor-made suits, or if you want to go out there and playing the cold weather Lambeau Field.
Well, we're talking about some of the big injuries that have rocked the NFL this week, and of course, Aaron Rodgers. It should be noted that Colin Kaepernick is also, by the way, if you didn't know this, he's also from Wisconsin. He's born in Milwaukee, so he's got some local ties as well. But we have a lot going on in terms of, you know, now what happens with the Packers, and yeah, we don't know about Jameis Winston, though it sounds like Jameis Winston isn't all that hurt. By the way, the Bucs lost last night. They were down 31-0 in the game, tried to rally late against Arizona, came up short. But Jameis Winston, it doesn't sound like Jameis Winston is a long-term thing at the moment, I don't believe. But we'll see. Ryan Fitzpatrick came into the game for the Buccaneers yesterday, rallied them. Again, they were down 31-0, and they ended up losing 38-33, and Fitzpatrick was the one that rallied him. That dude has like 19 lives.
Hey, smart dude. Harvard graduate. Has gotten his money with the Jets, and has bounced around the league for a long time. I think this is his 17th that he's been on. So he's a guy. He's a journeyman quarterback. There's no question about it.
We are talking NFL as we look at some of the quarterback issues and the way the league has kind of had to deal with these injuries. One team that did deal with the injuries fairly well was the Houston Texans, because the Texans ended up, losing J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless, and still they just kind of rode the arm of Deshaun Watson to another big win. And Deshaun Watson, Hugh, has done this. This is what Deshaun Watson has done so far this season. With 3 more touchdowns against the Browns, he has tied the NFL record for most TD passes in a quarterback's first 6 games. Most ever. 15 touchdowns through 6 games, most by a rookie quarterback since the AFL and NFL merged together. How about that for a start for Deshaun Watson?
I tell you what, and he is ingratiating himself to the fans of Houston, because Bo pointed this out to me. When he put on that Warren Moon jersey and had it on at his press conference, a lot of people loved that. That was the old school Warren Moon. And, you know, the young man is just out there balling. You know, I think I was a little bit premature and when I said it, was it like in week 2 that he was going to be the face of the franchise? I think that now he is slowly becoming that. He is slowly becoming that. I think that the fans of Texas, the Houston Texans, are starting to enjoy the fact that they finally, they're starting to feel like they finally have their quarterback. They're starting to feel like they finally have that guy that they can count on in the playoffs. And, you know, J.J. Watt, it's unfortunate that he's been hurt the last two seasons. But Jadeveon Clowney's been kind of holding it down over there. He's been kind of holding it down over there. And so they have another defensive player on the other side of the ball that's gonna do his thing. But now they have a quarterback, and I'm pretty sure they feel real good about that.
Yeah, he is an impressive quarterback. I've always been, as you know, high on Deshaun Watson. I didn't expect him to start quite like this. But he has, you know, flown out of the gate. You know, the Bears are playing with a bandit with Mitchell Trubisky now. Suddenly he's, you know, kind of burst onto the scene. But you're right, they tend to get a book on guys after a while. However, whatever book they've got on six games of Deshaun Watson, of course it is the Browns, but still, nonetheless, apparently it isn't going to work. Apparently this is not some kind of just hot start fluke with this guy. He looks like he could be, you know, what we thought he was, you know, the best big game quarterback we had seen come out of college football since Cam Newton in terms of his ability to – handle that stage.
All right, then I'm going to need you to back that down just a little bit. Can I get him a year under his belt? He's off to a great start. There's no question about that. He is balling. All respect due to this young man. But I've seen this first chapter in the book before. What was it? RG3 was that guy. Vince Young, maybe. In the same boat. Who else? Would you say Jamarcus Russell? Not really. Not really Jamarcus Russell. But, again, quarterbacks, they come in and I want to see him get in the offseason and how he handles his offseason. But he has a great start to his NFL career. There's no question about that.
Well, we see so many topsy-turvy things in the NFL right now. We mentioned Pittsburgh Steelers, who played so poorly in the five interceptions the week before, go to Kansas City against an unbeaten Chiefs team and dominate them from a statistical standpoint and winning the game. We see the New York Giants, who hadn't won a game, down seven starters. You know, Derek Wolfe of the Denver Broncos, they go into Denver and beat the Broncos 23-10. Derek Wolfe said something that I thought was interesting after the game. He said, well, it was an excuse, and I thought, well, that's kind of a wild excuse. Derek Wolfe of the Broncos said, we didn't know how to game plan for them. They had so many new starters. We didn't know any of their tendencies. We struggled with – you struggle with a bunch of backups there, Derek?
That might be the case, John. I mean, you don't really have a book on people. I mean, that happens. I mean, that's not far-fetched. I wouldn't have told anybody that. But you know that there's that. That's not far-fetched. I mean, that happens like that sometimes when you don't know what a team's gonna do because they've tried everything. They get desperate, and they just do what they can to score.
We're gonna continue breaking down the Falcons all day long too as they get ready for the game against the New England Patriots. Today is a Falcons Monday. We'll tell you what else today is as we continue live from the Kia Studios with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, today's your birthday. Happy birthday. Let's say he's 40 years old today, right? Is that right, Wendy? Am I reading
that? He's the big 4-0, and this would be one John Mayer.
You could join College Football Game Time at the Square in Lawrenceville on Saturday, presented by Bud Light. The McCrae's is a great place to go, and it'll be, of course, a huge College Football Saturday coming up. The show's from 11 to 3 on the Square in Lawrenceville at McCrae's for College Football Game Time this Saturday. It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. So today is a rainy day, and it's also a Falcons Monday. And what else, Wendy?
And it's National Liqueur Day, which we could all probably use after yesterday's loss. So you can participate in that if you'd like today.
I'm not a liqueur guy.
You mean like Grand Marnier? That's like a liqueur, isn't it? Grand Marnier, that's the one I know, like Bailey's. Is Bailey's a liqueur?
Yeah, Bailey's is a liqueur. Because you can just add it to your coffee. This
like
morning.
Amaretto and stuff like that, right?
Oh, no, that's sweet, right?
Sours, sweet. Yeah, you can make amaretto sours.
Nah, I'm cool.
I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Nah, I'm good.
Liqueur's a little bit sweet.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't like that.
Today's also National Dictionary Day, where we can add your word. What was your word from last week, John?
John. Yeah.
So National Dictionary Day, we can add that one into the list.
Yeah, big word.
Well, it's a small big word. It's four letters.
No, I was thinking of triskaidekaphobia.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's in the dictionary or not.
It is. I think it is. It's a fear of the number Friday 13th. The 13th. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's probably in the dictionary.
And if you see little critters outside, it is National Feral Cat Day, so leave some food out for the cats that you see outside. That way they take care of all the pests out in your yard. I love feeding the feral cats.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a fan of cats.
What?
No, cats, nah.
Do you know for the long... I'm sorry, Hugh Dunks.
No, you got it.
For the longest, I thought they were called feral cats, like the pharaohs in Egypt. Feral. I just saw this for the first time and realized I was saying it wrong.
Yeah, feral, for they live outdoors, they're born outdoors, you know, they're not domesticated in any way.
I just learned something today.
They know how to survive off the land.
Yeah, they do not allow themselves to be touched or handled by humans.
Nope.
But it's always funny when you see, like, people trying to catch the feral cat.
And feed them.
Especially when
they're put paws on them, and that cat put the paw.
Yeah, those feral cats I would stay away from because they're basically little wild animals. You know, some of them, especially the big fat ones, are like little bobcats. I wouldn't mess with them.
They feed them over by my house. Like, it's two that come over there, and they
feed the rats away.
Yeah, I mean, no, that they do that. But I'm just saying, you see some people that try to, you know, domesticate them. And yes. I'm like, nah. Cats are the one.
Definitely can't do that.
Animal that, you know, you don't, like, they definitely have a personality. And they will snap on you in a heartbeat. So, yeah.
But they're fun.
They're fun when they're outside, and I don't have to touch none of them.
Yeah, that's stupid cats. I mean, because the old, it's true. Dogs have dogs have masters. Cats have servants. I mean, you know, that's what they are.
Well, then doesn't that make a cat smarter?
I would agree with that because dogs. They're independent. They're definitely right. Independent individuals.
And they make you do stuff for them. I mean, that's pretty brilliant.
So you're saying just because the dog is loving and love others, he's stupid? I take offense to that personally as a dog person.
Did that come out of my mouth? Oh, no. Did I say that?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Didn't say that.
There's been a debate because dogs are always, no matter what, they're waiting for their master to get home and they're happy. Mm-hmm. Cats look at you like, so what? Big deal. You're here.
My cats greet me when I get home.
It's called loyalty. Okay.
Is that what it is?
Dogs are loyal. Cats are not. Cats will stab you in the back.
Mine don't. Maybe it's all about who takes care of them.
They'll stab you in the back with their little cat knives.
My cats are sweet. They greet me every morning when I get home from the show. Today's also Boss's Day, so be kind to your boss. Did you guys get a gift for our boss man?
No.
That was not on my list of things to do today, but I will say, hey, happy Boss Day. Whatever that means, whatever effect
that
has.
What do you get a boss?
I don't know. You show up for work on time, do a good job, I guess. I mean, it beats me. I mean, why do we need a day for Boss's Day? Is it every day Boss's Day? They're the boss.
With, like, recognition. Why do we need any day?
Man.
Really?
I don't know. That one seems like totally pointless to me, but maybe I'm lost.
I guess. Boss's Day. Interesting.
Wait, so Boss's Day confused you, but you guys were all okay with National Feral Cat Day. All right, cool.
Oh, no,
I see where it's at.
Oh, definitely. I'm not okay with that. I mean,
I'm not going to feed cats.
You got to take care of the people that take care of you, Wendy, and your boss helps write your, you know, he signs your paycheck, so.
You do have a point there, Bo.
What did you get for the boss, Bo?
I give him a good performance weekly. That's what I get him. I stay out of his hair. Don't give me any trouble. That's the best gift you can give a boss.
As far as other birthdays today, Angela Lansbury. Have you guys watched Murder, She Wrote?
I've seen it before.
The movie or the show that she's most famous for. She turns 92 years old today.
She was a very attractive lady way back in the day.
She
was very attractive.
She's also in Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, yes. I completely forgot about that.
Remember that? It was a Disney movie.
I mean, I remember it. I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, it was a Disney movie back in the day my sister used to make us watch.
It's a good one for Halloween. So if you don't want something scary, it's a really cute film. You didn't watch that one?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. I don't remember movies much, well, any.
In your defense, it was before your daughter's time. And so therefore, you know, you probably weren't forced to watch it.
Right.
But I think it was probably late 70s, early to mid 80s coming out.
Right. I guess.
Yeah.
And Suzanne Summers turns 71 years old today. I know her most from Step by Step because I watched that show religiously, but obviously she's been in other things.
Yeah, like Three's Company.
She's the reason I watch Step by Step.
I remember her for Dirty Harry from Magnaforce. Because the opening scene of Magnaforce in one of the early scenes, the girl that gets shot in the pool, that's Suzanne Summers. Now, you know what else she is? She's the girl in the red Corvette in American Graffiti.
That's a movie?
American Graffiti? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cruiser movie. Like
you just
cars.
Named two movies I have not seen.
Okay. Yeah, American Graffiti is kind of like, it's an older. It's like, it's made in the 70s.
Okay.
I'm thinking, yeah, so it's an older movie.
I just need to get a list of movies from everybody that I just need a list. And I won't do anything for an entire year except watch movies that I have not seen. And then Bryce Harper turns 25
years old today. Whatever. You know, I.
And that's her out of
listen,
it, so
he,
it's okay.
Yeah, he's out of it, right? Exactly. Boy, the Cubs might be out of it. They keep playing like this. It is a Falcons Monday. We'll talk live to Dave Archer, get his thoughts on what took place yesterday and about the game ahead against New England. Dave Archer joins us live next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on our website at 92.9thegame.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.